This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick in the United States. Nick, good afternoon from London. Good morning to you.
Hey, Johnny. Good to be back with you.
We are approaching the end of the week. And the interesting thing with the markets is we're seeing a bit of a sell-off at the moment on both the tech side and the Bitcoin side. Why is that?
Yes, pretty harsh sell-off here this week. In fact, if we take a look at, I'm just looking at the NASDAQ, this week, you know, as early as the Wednesday high to now, we've seen a over 4% drop at the time of recording this for the NASDAQ. S&P 500 has also had pretty sharp gains from the Wednesday high, talking about a 3% drop, and that's just in a few days. So, you know, a pretty sharp drop here in stock market indices. And as you mentioned, we'll talk more about it in a second, but cryptocurrency really fallen out of bed here today. Bitcoin's down 4.7%, Ethereum down 3.5%, Solana down 4.7%. So you have, you know, a very, very red tape here for the cryptocurrencies as we go into Friday's trading. Not to mention gold and silver are also selling off. And so we have a little bit of a red across the board move happening here today. And it makes sense why gold and silver are moving in line with this too, because the main catalyst, at least in the eyes of the market recently, it seems, is the rate cut probabilities for the December 10th meeting pretty dramatically changing here. For listeners, you may recall that if you've been listening to the podcast, we've discussed this concept that a December rate cut was all but priced in, all but expected a couple weeks ago. In fact, we had nearly a 100% chance on the FedWatch tool. According to the bonds market participants, pretty much rate cuts were set. Except for now, we have seen a dramatic shift down to about a 50-50 chance of a rate cut in the upcoming December meeting. Now, the 25 basis point cut, I think, is neither here nor there. It's not really about the 25 basis point cut itself. It's about the tone and the precedent that it sets for where we are in the Fed's cycle. If we are early in the cutting cycle, you would expect rate cuts to be a done deal and pretty easy, right? You typically see these, oh, we need to pause and wait again towards the end or towards a pausing period of the Federal Reserve. I mean, just recall recently in the last, you know, year and a half, we saw the Fed go from, you know, a couple cuts to pause, and it went on pause for a whole year. So the market is now looking at this and saying, okay, we've got risk assets priced very expensively. Stocks are very, very expensive relative to historical averages, right? So we know that to be true. You know, that's not even, you know, obviously you can determine whether or not you think they are valued correctly at those levels or not, but they are relative to historical averages. I saw yesterday that stocks reached their highest relative valuation across, I think, like several different metrics in recent times, because earnings have been very strong. So there's a case to be made that they should be expensive. The point, though, is when you have a market, a very expensively priced market, the idea of losing one of the dominoes here, one of the dominoes falling, which is the rate cut story, it really challenges the narrative of just how easy we are going to have it from here. So if we are already now pausing or potentially taking a much slower pace with the Federal Reserve's rate cuts, it does challenge, are we at valid pricing up here with a lot of risk assets? That also makes sense why gold and silver, many listeners may care about those as well. Gold and silver are also down because, again, remember, precious metals, they also love rate cuts. They love more money flooding into the system. And so if we are going to get a bit of a change in tone, a little bit more of a hawkish tone, which had been, you know, kind of more decidedly the way. Just look at the dollar index in the last few months. We've had an uptick in the dollar index. We've had yields on the rise, right? So you have this story of, okay, Fed, likely the next move is still a cut, but it's not as solidly locked in as it was a few weeks ago. So we are seeing risk assets dramatically be repriced today.
It's interesting, Nick, because if it is true, as you're suggesting, that a lot of markets are rather overpriced at the moment, we have over the last few weeks and months seen some economists trailing the idea of a major correction on the way. Now, what is the phrase? Even a stopped clock is correct twice a day. So maybe it's going to happen anyway at some point. But are there any clues as to whether that is a possible thing? Because when you look at the economic indicators on both sides of the Atlantic and you look at the stock markets, you know, we're at near all-time highs. And to the layman out there, they might actually think, why are we at all-time highs when there's so much uncertainty around? We've had the government shutdown, of course, where you are in the USA. We've got high interest rates, historically reasonably high in terms of recent years, but we've still got markets doing very well. Some people would suggest, well, that doesn't make any sense.
It can be very confusing because, again, it's a tale of two markets here, too, where you have the middle class consumer not particularly doing very well. But then you have the stock markets, as you pointed out, hitting fresh all-time highs. Here's a quick, interesting kind of note. In the 1920s, there was a similar type environment where the wealthy class really excelled because real estate, stocks, everything was going up and up and up. And it made that cohort of people feel very wealthy. I mean, they were very wealthy. They were benefiting dramatically from rising prices. But at the same time, there were also people who were not benefiting from asset prices the same way, going up so much during that same time. Well, obviously, we all know how that eventually ended. You had a massive, global reset in terms of the economic system. Many, many things changed, and there was a ginormous, transfer of wealth that took place. Well, is that likely happening again? I think we as humans, we know how cycles tend to work. We tend to make the same mistakes over and over with what we do. Technologies and times change, but human psychology, as they say, doesn't really change. So I think that there is a fair thing to look at the market and say, okay, some things don't seem perfectly aligned. However, to the bull's case, you do have this remarkable new technology that has hit the world by storm since 2023. It ripped us out of the bear market of 2022. That is the AI revolution, the excitement around efficiency. And in sort of a scary way, a lot of the efficiencies in the short run seem to be cutting jobs or pausing hiring, and that makes corporate earnings go up, right? It drops directly to the bottom line. So in a weird way, you have this environment where stocks keep going up because the wealthy people of the world are essentially funding the spending. They're spending a ton of money. And guess who else is funding the spending? Corporations. Many people who criticize this market point to circular dealings where these big AI companies are internally spending a ton of revenue with each other, causing their numbers to look really, really good. Now, it depends. There's many smart people on both sides, and I'm certainly not willing to say I know for sure which way is correct or not. But I do think that when it comes to the AI move, there's some real tangible technology chains that are going to change the world forever, similar to the internet. I also, however, think that we know how people get with new technologies. They tend to, get very, very excited and price things very, very expensively. So I think there is a tone of caution that would be wise, especially 3 years into a bull market. You've seen quite some gains be priced into this market. However, the last thing I'll say, and my personal opinion on it is that I think that it can go on longer than people think, as it tends to do. Even if you take the stance of we're in a bubble, if the AI thing is a huge bubble and there's so much spending going on and eventually it's all going to come crashing down, if you take that tone, the problem with that is that throughout history, when we do see these new technologies, the bubble, quote unquote, even if you're right, you could be years early. I know many people have been recently listening to the posts from Michael Burry, the guy who shorted the stock market or shorted the housing market specifically in 2008. And he was very correct if you gave him the leniency of being wrong for a few years first, right? So same thing with Alan Greenspan when he said the stock market is at irrational levels or something of that tone. The year I was born, 1996, well, the stock market kept rallying for like four more years after that before he was also quote unquote proven right. So as you pointed out in your question, even a broken clock can be right twice a day. Well, I think that trying to time the top of a move like this is difficult. I think you probably want to focus more on corporate earnings truly slowing as an indicator of when maybe you're starting to see the froth come out of the picture.
Don't know about you folks, but I'm still reeling from the fact that Nick's just told me he was born in 1996. Let's talk about the week ahead. What should we look out for? I think we're going to hear from the FOMC on Wednesday. Of course, we've had very little data over the last few weeks because of the government shutdown, but maybe we'll have some and a few more clues next week.
Yes, and also just a side note too, with this data starting to roll back in, one thing that I personally and some listeners may also be caring to see is the commitment of traders data, which we do have precedence on. So the commitment of traders data, so just a quick update on all the data that we've missed. In 2013, when the government shut down and then we came back up. There were some data points that were missed and were never reported again. That is seemingly the potential precedent that we're going off of this time. We've heard from the White House that we may not get some jobs data. We may not get certain pieces, but we do have a precedent also for the commitment of traders data, which will tell us what institutions have been doing during this dark time. I say dark as in, you know, a blind period with data. The CFTC, government entity, puts out these data points. And so we will actually get a backlog on those. So for listeners who care about that stuff, we are going to get that data, although we may not get all the economic data. However, new jobs data is expected to roll in on the first Friday of December for at least the month of November. And we are still on pause and waiting to hear for more information on which data points will get filled in from the government.
Excellent stuff. Nick, thank you very much for joining us today. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Johnny. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.